T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Thanks for listening to the Dusty and Cam in the Morning podcast, brought to you by your local Les Schwab Tire Centers, where I get my wild country tires. Les Schwab, doing the right thing since 1952.
I happen to be training for a triathlon right now. Doing a lot of running, cycling, swimming. Well, you know all about that.
This is Dusty and Cam in the Morning.
No, actually, I don't. I play real sports. I'm trying to be the best at exercising.
With Dusty Hera.
You got to let the chest meat flow a little bit.
That's what I'm going to be doing every single night. Dollar, dollar. Bills, y'all.
And NFL veteran Cam Cleland.
When your mouth is moving, Cam is not a listener.
You know what? I can already tell that I don't like you, and I'm probably not going to like you, no matter how many pull-ups or push-ups you do.
You clearly don't understand the employer-employee relationship.
Dusty and Cam on 1080.
I guess I'm starting to, and I don't like it.
The Fan.
All right, hour number 3. Dusty and Cam in the Morning. Thank you for being a part of our morning, letting us be a part of yours. Justin Herbert had quite the debut for the Los Angeles Chargers. 311 yards, a touchdown rush, touchdown pass in a overtime loss to the Kansas City Chiefs. And we talked about yesterday, what do the Chargers do moving forward with Tyrod Taylor, who left with a chest injury, had to go to the hospital. We found out it was an injection that he had an adverse reaction to in his chest. Oh my goodness. What are they giving him, an injection to his chest? What kind of injection is that?
I have no idea. I have zero idea. I mean, he had a rib injury. I know he was dealing with a rib soreness.
So maybe a painkiller shot.
It could have been a cortisone shot.
They call it chest?
Immediately. It could have been anything. I mean, I know from, I don't know what they're putting in those guys. I'd hate to speculate.
Man, but that sounds brutal. But Herbert thrust into a starting role just minutes before. And it was funny that, Anthony Lynn said, Herbert was like, is he serious? Are you joking right now? And he's like, no, I'm serious. You're starting, like, a minute before the game kicked off. And he played well. I mean, he held his own. He looked good. He became the first player in NFL history with a rushing touchdown and a passing touchdown in the first half of their NFL debut, which is pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But Anthony Lynn yesterday was not as effusive in praise for Justin Herbert as some thought he would. He was talking about Tyrod Taylor, who said, hey, if he's 100%, he will be our starter. He said, there's a lot we didn't get done with Justin on the field yesterday. He's a backup for a reason.
Yeah.
Can you explain what Anthony Lynn is going through right now? Because I'm at a loss. Like, I know he has a history with Tyrod Taylor in Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
He said at the beginning he's going to be our starter. What is going on with that? When you watch what Herbert did versus what Taylor did in week one against Cincinnati, the offense looked completely different.
Yeah, it looked different. In defense of what Tyrod, there has been a relationship there before. There's a belief in each other, and Anthony Lynn believes in Tyrod Taylor. I can respect that tremendously. I can. I like the loyalty factor of what it is. You're giving somebody an opportunity. And I think that maybe there's been communication with Tyrod. Look, I've never had the opportunity. I was at Buffalo and then it got passed up. I was in with Cleveland and then suddenly things got passed up and here I am again. He wants to give him a fair shake. Maybe there is something there. The issue is going to be with what does Tom Telesco and what does the ownership tell Anthony Lynn to do? Because at this point, we know owners can be quite meddlesome. There are some meddlesome owners. There are some not. And we know that your general manager, sometimes you want to be in lockstep and you want to have that understanding that we drafted this guy for a reason. But I also, I also allow coaches to be coaches. So Anthony Lynn is doing something. He's holding very strong on this. I don't know if publicly shaming your rookie like that is healthy. I don't know if that would have been helpful. Sometimes you just need to take the Bill Belichick approach and say, we're evaluating right now. This is our situation. Because that goes without saying, right? It doesn't leave it open for interpretation. I think we're all now waiting for Anthony Lynn to go, well, Justin Herbert's better. No, I want you to put Justin Herbert in there, and all of us want to put Justin Herbert in there because he is the better quarterback, not because you feel public pressure. So the coach has got a decision. He feels that Tyrod's the leader. All right, you got to stick with it.
I have a question about this just from that perspective, Kim. I mean, I can see why Lynn would say, okay, if I say Herbert's great and make him the starter, but then things blow up in my face and he kind of shows his rookie nature, it's way harder for me to go back to my QB. The part I don't really get is that's why he's our backup. Why not say he played great, but Tyrod's still our guy?
Yeah. That's where a big
choice of words
is.
Wasn't great. Choice of words and how he chose to make that blatant statement about Justin and what he did is that he didn't really give him, I didn't see a lot of adoration.
And do you think that's intentional? Is that a message being sent to Herbert or to management, or did he just get the words wrong?
Guys, I just don't think Anthony Lynn wanted to draft Justin Herbert at all whatsoever. I think it's quite obvious. You can see it. Now, whether Tom Telesco was the one that made the choice and Anthony Lynn just went, all right, I guess we'll go with it. I thought Tyrod was our guy, but I trust what you're giving me. I don't think that Anthony Lynn wanted any part of Justin Herbert. Tell you the truth. I mean, it's rearing its ugly head. We don't hear top 10 pick quarterbacks, head coaches talk about them that way in today's football. They just don't do that.
Well, you heard Bruce Arians do it last week with Tom Brady, which was a head scratching one as well. I mean, you sit there and that was in a loss to the New Orleans Saints, just as this was in a loss to the Kansas City Chiefs.
But talk what way about what? What do you mean? Well, you mean call out your starter?
Calling out your quarterback like that. You just don't hear it from a guy that, in one hand, it is the guy who's leading your franchise in Tom Brady. And on the other hand, it's your Justin Herbert, the future of your franchise. You just don't hear that kind of, he's a backup for a reason.
You don't do that. You know why you don't do that when you're a young guy? You can do that to Tom Brady because he's 43. He's married to Giselle. He's got hundreds of millions of dollars. And he's the most competitive man, Hall of Famer, greatest quarterback to ever play the game. You can try to play the little fun game and talk about it. What you don't do to a rookie, and rookies are very sensitive when they come into this league. They're trying to prove themselves and their confidence. Although you can fake like you have it, Baker Mayfield, you need the support of your coaches. Some guys can handle tough love, others can't. You could take the Joe Burrow situation, where Joe Burrow at the end in his press conference said, I need to be better, we need to win, we need to do so much better, I can't play better, there are things that I need. That's different coming from you as a player. But when your head coach publicly says you're a backup for a reason, that tells you right out of the gate, you don't have zero confidence in him, and you're not helping. Come on. They still need the ego boost when you're a rookie. You still need to know that I'm getting better. Coach, hey, give me a little attaboy. You need attaboys. You don't need negative out of the gate. Anthony Lynn, I just don't agree with that at all whatsoever to a rookie.
And I think one thing you might have seen is we don't know what throws Justin missed, right? We know the ones that he missed where he put a little bit too much juice on.
Yeah, but you don't need to tell us.
The flat, right? But exactly. And you saw
tell him
was,
in the meeting.
You saw that there was frustration on the face of Keenan Allen at the end of the game. But I think that was more of Anthony Lynn went to punt on 4th-and-1 instead of giving his team a chance to win. Where Keenan Allen, he got his, man. He had 10 targets, 7 catches, 96 yards, right?
Yeah.
Justin Herbert did a great job of distributing the ball, not just getting it to his playmaker's hands, but getting it to a multitude of targets in that game. And that's like one of the things. Can't ask for much more out of a rookie quarterback. And then two, it's not like you have a guy in Tyrod Taylor that is a bona fide starter in the league, because he's been replaced in Buffalo. He's been replaced in Cleveland. He is now, I think there may be more of the sentimental aspect of it with Anthony Lynn here, that I have this connection to this guy and he's already been replaced in all these different places. I'm going to be a guy that has his back because I maybe didn't have it in the past. And if that is the case, then that's when Tom Telesco probably does step in, or the Spanos family steps in.
You can't do that. You can't do that. You can't do that. There's no way you could do that to Anthony Lynn. If you're going to do that and you're going to allow the owners and the general manager to step in, then you're going to turn into what has always been known as the Chargers organization is get out of your own dang way. Dysfunction. You have to, at one point in time, allow your head coach to make the decisions. And then if they don't follow the protocol that you think is right, you fire them and you get rid of them. But if you're going to meddle, Jerry Jones has been meddling for 30 years. It doesn't work.
But so have the Spanos family.
Yeah, but the Spanos family is just part of what it is. Is that that's a good roster. Anthony Lynn's a good coach. I think it's just, maybe I'm reading into it a little bit too much. And he's a hard line coach, and I respect that. I just don't think he didn't. I don't think he wanted Justin Herbert.
But that's kind of the question.
And that's hard to swallow if you see that publicly.
That's kind of the question that a lot of fans have, though. Is Anthony Lynn a good coach? Is he a guy that is going to be a coach that gets you to the playoffs one and then over the hump and winning playoff games?
I mean, you're in the division of Kansas City.
You want to vie for a playoff spot.
You certainly want to vie for a playoff spot, but are you, I'm going to say this over and over again, is Tyrod Taylor or Justin Herbert the guy that can match up with Patrick Mahomes? One guy did on Sunday. That might be good enough for me on film. Usually you can say, is it, I just need a couple glimpses. I saw some glimpses.
Mm-hmm. They did, and we do remember Anthony Lynn just a few years ago, they went 12-4. Mm-hmm. They lost in the divisional round of the playoffs, and last year they were decimated by injuries, went 5-11. And I think that may be it for Anthony Lynn, knowing that, hey, he's probably coaching for his job because of how talented this roster is and not trusting the rookie quarterback. One thing that he has going for him is the fact that there's no butts in the seats, so you're not trying to placate to fans right now, and that pressure of just getting fans to show up for the Chargers.
You're not getting booed yet.
That is a huge reason why a lot of GMs and ownership start meddling, is the fact that, hey, we're not getting butts in the seats, the fans are getting restless. Well, if all those fans are just on social media and they're not booing you in person, or they're not showing up to the game, which Charger fans haven't in LA anyways, then what do you have to lose if you're the Chargers in starting Tyrod Taylor?
This text coming in says, that reminded me of the Auburn-Oregon game. Herbert played great, but the team choked at the end.
Wow. I see what you're doing there.
Well, I mean, punting in overtime on 4th-and-1.
Well, it's a team game last time I checked, right? I mean, you let a freshman throw up a Hail Mary kind of and catch a touchdown pass when your defensive backs could have played, or pass rush. It's a team game. Justin Herbert didn't lose that game. It was a terrible call on 4th-and-1.
No, I think what the call was is that, like, look, it wasn't necessarily Herbert. Herbert airmailed that one ball.
I think the texter was saying Herbert was good. It was the rest of the team that was the issue.
And the fact that Anthony Lynn's go-to was, I'm going to give it to Patrick Mahomes, who he's never led a game-winning drive at the end ever before.
Did you see Lynn say, well, it was a long yard? Like, it was a little bit more than 4th-and-1, and we just needed our defense to make a stop?
I'm not sure that's the defense I'd go with there. All right, 503-250-1080. We want to hear from you. 11 teams are 0-2. 11 more teams are 2-0. Which teams that are winless are you still buying, and which of the undefeateds are maybe masquerading? 503-250-1080. This is Dusty and Cam on the Fan. 503-250-1080. That'd be the Fan text line, our P1 social today. We've got 11 teams 0-2. Which of those are you still buying? And 11 teams are 2-0. Which ones are masquerading around the National Football League? 503-250-1080. That is the Fan text line.
And right away we have one that says the Bills aren't good. They will get blown out by the Rams this week. And then it's followed by a little gambling talk. Says right now LA is +2.5. I'm doing an alternate spread of -5.5. Swinging it the other way.
Interesting. I like what Buffalo's doing. They have a solid defense. Josh Allen looks more comfortable at quarterback. Stephon Diggs is a reliable wide receiver that they desperately needed. I kind of am buying what Buffalo's doing.
Buying what they're, you mean what they're doing? What do you
they're
mean
they're 2-0. They're a playoff team a year ago. I mean, I like the direction that they are in. I don't think they're masquerading around at 2-0.
Oh, no. What would be considered masquerading would be a team that is legitimately a Super Bowl contender or a playoff contender, or a team that's kind of looking pretty decent, but truthfully, they're going to fall apart in the end. Is that what we kind of use the masquerading is? Is masquerading 8-8 or 9-7 or 10-6? What is that magic? Or they are losing record?
Well, last year, I mean, you had the Green Bay Packers as a team that was masquerading at 13-3, right? So you can even have a good record, but maybe your schedule is a little bit soft and you're just not the elite team that you think that they are based on their record at that point in the year. Or it's just a team that you don't have a whole heck of a lot of faith in that they are going to be a legitimate contender.
My thing with the Bills is more that I don't yet trust Josh Allen. I think that I like Sean McDermott a lot. I like some of the pieces and some of the moves that they've made, but he still just seems a little bit raw and can be a little bit erratic. Now he's played pretty well in these first 2 weeks, but they've also played the Jets and the Dolphins. So show me a better opponent against those guys. Granted, you're in a weaker division this year with the Patriots taking a step back without Brady, but you know, I'm not sure and I'm buying the Bills until I see him play somebody better.
It seems like the popular hot take, too, is to say that Josh Allen is, like, one of the great quarterbacks in the league right now, right? Was it Dan Orlovsky who said he was MVP over Russell Wilson right now?
I think he's playing well. He should be considered a top 10 quarterback. He's a very good quarterback right now. He's doing an excellent job. He's getting his team making some big-time throws. He went down and won a game, which is always difficult to win in Miami early in the year. Everyone that thinks that's just an easy walkthrough, when you go down in that heat, it's always a tough place to play early in the season because it's full of heat and humidity, and you're just not ready for that. That was a bit. There were some big-time throws, man. That falling on your back foot, sidearm flick from 60 was a ridiculously good throw.
He's got power, man.
Yeah.
And we had another one that said, I am buying the Cardinals with baby Russell Wilson and DeAndre Hopkins there.
Yeah, the Cardinals are pretty solid. I like them a lot. I like everything they're doing. Now, this goes along the lines of, and I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but sometimes you get a little Sean McVay shock and awe when someone takes over and you're not quite ready for what the air raid offense gives you. And then when you put in a D-hop into that offense, and then you get lightning in a bottle. Give defenses time. It might be one of those years that Arizona does pop. But we saw Sean McVay and what they did. It was sexy. It was different. It was a lot of move. It was a lot of motion. And it worked very well for a year. How quickly will they adjust? But I'm on the Arizona fan train. They're going to be a tough out.
And their defense is a lot better than what we thought it was. And if you just look at Mike Leach's, the whole thing is, what does Mike Leach do if he has an elite wide receiver, right? He didn't really have like an elite, like NFL caliber wide receiver at Washington State. The one guy that we can go back to is back when he was at Texas Tech and he had Michael Crabtree.
Yeah.
And remember how dominant that offense was? And they were a top five team.
Right. But remember, college, you play 4 good teams. In the NFL, you play 16 good teams. That's the difference of how is that sustainable for a long time. And you have 85 scholarships with sometimes 2 and 3 guys of depth. D-Hop gets hurt, you're 8-8.
Well, absolutely.
So
but
you just got to go, okay,
it is what
let it happen.
What the system looks like when you have that kind of guy, though, it is explosive, man.
Sure. No, it is.
And this one coming in saying, I'm still buying the Texans and the Falcons. They had tough schedules to start the year.
They did. That's a good call.
Yeah, I am on board with the Texans one. And plus, they've got a lot of kinks that they need to work out because of the fact it is life without DeAndre Hopkins for Deshaun Watson. He's got to figure out what that offense is going to be when you have Fuller, Cobb, and Cooks as the wide receivers instead of just one main target that you go to. And that is going to be a learning process. I'm not writing off the Houston Texans by any means.
Also, if you're Atlanta, every single year you got a good roster, good team, you have a good coach, you can't get out of your own way in closing moments in the beginning of seasons. I think that Super Bowl crush is going to haunt that organization.
Turning
forever.
Point for the franchise, you think?
Oh, my gosh, just haunts them.
You guys did see the stat about the position that they were in this last game that they had 39 points, no turnovers, and previous teams were 440-0 in that situation.
Yeah, when you are +5 in the turnovers and you score over 39 points, 440-0. Well, now 440-1.
This one's coming in and says, is it just me or the Titans not a legit 2-0?
That was my most masquerading team that I'm not all in believable on what they can do dominant-wise towards the end of the season. I think their division's better. I like Indy. They're going to be a tough out. I haven't seen what the Titans are. Can they win that game? Are they dynamic? Without Derrick Henry, that team is so average, just so average. I don't have a lot of faith in Ryan Tannehill. They're my most of all the most masquerading 2-0.
Arthur Smith has done a good job with Ryan Tannehill, making it
gotten him better.
Simple for him. And he went, what, first two drives, he was 4 for 5, 99 yards, 2 touchdowns. Yeah. That was Ryan Tannehill on their first two drives of the game.
But it's like, are they that good? Can they be?
No, and that's
I just want to be sold on it. That's it.
Isn't that crazy, though? I said this earlier, but it's crazy that was a team in the AFC Championship game. Yeah. And I don't think anybody is truly sold on them yet.
Yep. Two texts coming in, opposite thoughts on the same team. One says, yeah, the Raiders are for real. And the other one says, I can't buy into this Gruden thing just yet, but I will say it's surprising.
Well, Gruden's already proved that he can win. So he's already done it with the Raiders, and he did it with Tampa Bay, and then he took some time off. So he's a proven head coach that can win. You just got to get him the tools. And Mike Mayock has turned out to be a very successful general manager. And they got a new building, a new city, and everything. They're for real, folks. That's a real team.
I 100% concur.
The New Orleans Saints and beat them handily. That's a real football team.
Made their defense look foolish. Yeah. That gave Tom Brady a bunch of
headaches.
They got
young talent. They got a whole lot of young talent. They have a frightening amount of young talent on that team. Yeah.
You know what is amazing, too? I mean, we were talking earlier about Darren Waller. Darren Waller was part of a Rolando McClain trade. When the Raiders sent Rolando, or the Ravens sent Rolando McClain from Baltimore to Oakland, they got a 6th-round pick in return. That 6th-round pick Baltimore used on drafting Darren Waller, and now he's starring for the Raiders. Which, it's just kind of one of those funny full circle, NFL comes full circle, and now he's one of the most electric wide receiving tight ends in the league.
I also saw former receiver Mike Wallace, who used to play for the Steelers, but also the Ravens, said, yeah, I'm not surprised by this. This guy used to go for 250 yards on us every practice.
Mm. He's a special dude.
And we got to this in the 6:30 hour, but a new one coming in. We talked about this team a little bit. I'm selling the Bears, this one says. Bears are 2-0.
This is my masquerading 2-0 team. Yes, they are 2-0. They had to come back from 23-6 deficit against the Lions to win in week one. And then they had the Giants in week two, which is a disaster. Yep. And they were white knuckling that thing. 17-13. They get the Falcons, Colts, Bucks in the next 3 weeks. We're going to find out a lot about the Bears.
Yeah, they're going to have to step up. You're right. Those are two wins, but it's also two wins. You're 2-0 for a reason. Sometimes you have to be a little lucky in this league. It just takes a couple wins to get your mindset and guys start believing in it. I mean, take it for what it's worth, right? You did beat Detroit. I mean, that's how crazy it is. You're one or two plays away, and you're thinking, hey, we're 2-0. You're believing it.
Get that
one. It's a mindset.
Nebraska wanted credit for the Big Ten football coming back. What they got was a reality check. Here's Buck with SportsCenter. Big Ten announced their college football schedule over the weekend, and the heartland of the United States was fired up to see their teams going to be back in action. Each team got one game cut out of their original 9-game schedule that was set up last August, right? When they announced it, and then reversed course on August 10th. But Nebraska has been waving that flag and carrying the banner of the Big Ten that we brought football back, right? We had Scott Frost saying, you know, we want to play Big Ten schedule where we may have to go elsewhere to play it. You had 8 players suing the Big Ten from the University of Nebraska. You had their university president was the one who the hot mic leaked audio about Big Ten's going to announce tonight. And then the Big Ten said,
Big Red's ready to roll.
We're not going to do it.
Ready to rock.
They sure wanted a lot of credit for bringing football back.
As they should be.
Well, the Big Ten said, hey, time for a reality check when the schedules came out, because their schedule is tough. Of the 9 games that they had previously on their schedule back in August, they cut one game, and that one game was Rutgers, the automatic W in the Big Ten Conference, which led to their AD, Bill Moose, you know, former U of O and Washington State athletic director as well. He said, you know, Nebraska, I've got a good football team with a great football coach that deserves a break here or there to start getting back on track to being a contender in the Big Ten West.
Yeah.
Deserves a break. He was complaining about their schedule, which starts at Ohio State, Wisconsin at home, at Northwestern, Penn State at home, Illinois, at Iowa, at Purdue, Minnesota.
Can't hurt for trying. We do know that the loudest voice gets a lot of notoriety now in today's world, right? If you got a big mouth and you keep talking your way into existence, you'll end up getting your way, it seems like, quite a bit. The quiet ones are the ones that get pushed over and laughed at. Nebraska's trying to speak their way back into existence, aren't they? I mean, because they have, ever since they joined the Big Ten, they've really struggled. They've struggled because they've lost the recruiting advantage of going up against Texas. Because once you lose that recruiting advantage, and that's really what happened when you left the Big 12, Colorado's felt the same push. You lost all those Oklahoma recruits because you don't have that same connection. I think Nebraska is just spinning their wheels staying in the conference. I don't know why they ever joined it, and I know they were chasing more money, and they felt that the Big 12 was going to fail. But you could see this. You could see Nebraska jumping ship here pretty soon. This might be the step in the right direction for them and joining of another super conference and taking the best Pac-12 teams, the best Big 12 teams, and taking a few others and start creating something different out there. I think it would be great. And so if Nebraska wants to complain about it, go out and beat Ohio State then.
Look, I don't think you had any room to complain when you're 23-29 in Big Ten play. And since firing Bo Pelini during a 9-4 season, you have gone 6-7, 9-4, 4-8, 4-8, 5-7.
Well, let me put it in perspective of why Nebraska thinks that way. They're a legitimate, storied, proud, powerful college football team. They've won a lot of national championships. Okay, they got a lot of, not just arrogance, they have expectations there. But that's the only thing in the state of Nebraska. It's it. That's all they have. They don't have a basketball team. They don't have baseball teams. They have some smaller sports, but that's it. The Big Red is their professional franchise. They're their basketball, football, baseball, all wrapped into one big program. And it means a lot to everyone there. So you can't tell me that somebody won multiple national championships, even though 20-some years ago, does not still think that they can be a national championship contender. You can't take that arrogance and confidence and expectations away. Well, and I like that about Bill Moos and what Scott Frost is trying to bring back. I think it's great. So if you want to think that way, that's the way you have to think to get up with Ohio State and Alabama's and Oklahoma's and certainly Clemson's. You have to think like them. So, all right, try it.
But if you are that program and you are everything that you just said right there, which no doubt Nebraska does think that, why are you asking for a softer schedule? Because you're sitting there and saying we deserve a break here and there. He said one of his main gripes is that you open at Ohio State, where he said it's the first time we're on a charter aircraft, first time we're in a hotel, first time everybody on the sideline has masks, first time with electronic whistles. Everything's going to be new. I didn't feel that had to happen.
It's the same reason why everybody complains about the Pac-12. Why does the ESPN throw cupcakes at Washington on the sideline? Why does Oregon have to go on the road in a quote-unquote neutral site versus an SEC team? Why does Washington go on the road to Georgia at a neutral site? Nobody has answers for this, but you got to complain and whine and say it's biased towards the top end teams.
But if you're sitting there and you're going, all right, Nebraska, you're going to cry, woe is me. Have you seen Michigan's schedule? Because Michigan's schedule, they have Ohio State and Penn State because they're in their division. They also, their crossovers that they play are against Minnesota and Wisconsin. Yeah, the team that was in the Rose Bowl last year, Wisconsin. Yeah. The team that was ranked in the top 10 last year in Minnesota. And guess what? Michigan starts on the road at Minnesota. Going through all of those things that Bill Moos just complained about,
sure,
Michigan has just as big a gripe, but Jim Harbaugh's not complaining about it. The AD's not complaining about it. They're sitting there and they're going, this is the Big Ten. This is a schedule that we have to play.
It's great. And it's a turn that college football needs to do. The two biggest lies in sports is 0-1. And 0-1 means an undefeated or one loss is only means you're good in college football. Because everyone that has two losses and three losses says that they're just not very good, no quality wins. All those things are used against you. The biggest lie in college football is a 0-1 next year league standings. And that's what SEC has been banking on for years. Whoa, Nelly. 10 conference games for the SEC, it's going to change a little bit. So we need this push in college football to get out of the 1-0. 2s and 3s should be all right. And if you're playing top-end teams and you end up with 2 losses, maybe 3, fight your way back in your division and win a conference championship with 2 and/or maybe potentially 3, you deserve a chance to get in there.
This text says, aside from Nebraska, is there a single other FBS program that has gone from truly elite, consistent national title contenders to a middle-tier program in the last 20 years?
They're not middle-tier. Sorry, I don't believe that Nebraska is middle-tier.
Well, their record says so.
Yeah, but how would you grade middle-tier? What is it,
well,
middle tier?
I would say 6-7.
Making a bowl, but not contending
for
your conference?
Not winning your conference is considered middle tier?
Well, I'm saying making a bowl game but not winning your conference would make you middle tier, right? You're winning, but you're not winning at an elite level.
Nor are you even in the conference championship.
So perennial
game.
Top 25 is what maybe would be outside the top 25? Is Nebraska's standards, as I'm asking you guys, do you think Nebraska's standards should be top 25 every year?
Yes. Oh, I think their standards should be that high. Yeah. But to me, it's almost like they are Kansas basketball. Right?
I'll raise you Florida State.
If Kansas basketball
Florida
was
State
bad.
Won a championship a handful of years ago, though.
And I think you still have the Florida element. The blue bloods like Notre Dame and Nebraska used to do so well even 20 years ago in like claiming kids and getting enrollments from kids that just wanted that kind of football legend and tradition. It's so much harder to get a kid there now these days. I feel like when you're not winning now, it's a little bit like Washington State. They're not getting those big recruits they were getting before the Leaf and Bledsoe days. Mm-hmm. And now that they've fallen a little bit further back, it seems like it's really hard to get back into that upper echelon. We're contending for a conference title conversation.
Hmm. Yeah. I mean, to the point of like teams do fall on hard times, right? And Florida State is a great example of this. After Jimbo Fisher left, they just kind of fell apart with Willie Taggart hire. And then Mike Norvell, they go out and they try to make the splash hire of the guy out of Memphis. And
well, Florida
that one is
too.
To be,
I mean, Florida, when you lose Tim Tebow and you lost Urban Meyer,
yeah,
that took a dip.
Mullen is back to having them in the top 10.
This texter saying Miami also.
The mm-hmm. U. The U is a great one.
Yeah, that's a good one too.
I'll add to that one. How about Texas and the fall off that they've had? And right. This is the thing, though. These are the blue blood programs where they're going to get the, hey, that this team is back before anybody else because it's familiar, right? And that is part of Texas ranked in the top 15 to start the year, ends up outside looking in. Tom Herman's mm-hmm. got a good team, and they may be able to turn it around. But Nebraska, I mean, they had a good thing with Bo Pelini was good there. Bo Pelini was good.
I think he was a little too controversial.
Well, and he got in a little trouble there.
Yeah, a little too emotional. Not a great leader that they were looking for. They're looking for a nice, stable leader. Scott Frost is going to be a good guy that hopefully really works out there. And Bill Moose, there's true conviction. They want to get back to recruiting and doing things they need to do. And first of all, they're just stuck. They're stuck behind Ohio State right now. That's hard to deal with. I don't think they ever should have left. I think that was a big mistake, but I understand why they did it.
Well, they did it because they did it in the time where Colorado bolted too, because it was
scared. Hey, they didn't know
Texas and Oklahoma are going to the Pac-12.
Right,
they are gone. Right. That was Chip Brown down in Texas. He was reporting they're gone, and then all of a sudden the Big 12 just folded over the top and said, "Hey, by the way, we'll let you guys have whatever you want, whatever you want." And boom. Longhorn Network gives them a ton of money, and they gave Oklahoma an extra share. And right now, Oklahoma's doing better than anybody else's in that conference because they get extra money and they know how to use it. Texas didn't know how to use it because they had way too many cooks in the kitchen for a long time.
Right.
But Nebraska, Scott Frost, if there's one guy who's going to stick with it and turn it around, I'm not going to rule out Scott Frost. He made UCF into a contender, man.
Sure did.
National title.
Won a national title.
You're dang right.
Allegedly.
503-250-1080. That is the Fan text line. Hey, the division crown is wrapped up in the AL West. And we got still, this is the great thing about September with all the sports bump back. We've got a loaded sports week. Dustin Cam on the Fan. The Oakland A's are AL West champions. They didn't even play yesterday, but by the Mariners beating the Astros, the A's are AL West champs. How about that? Take that for data.
Every single guy over there needs a beating.
And what? They got that beating, the Astros.
Wow. It's not nice.
What? I mean, that's what
it's
we all thought.
Been since 2011,
right?
Oakland Athletics. How much longer are we going to say Oakland in that sentence? We're going to say Vegas here pretty soon because Oakland's going to fall.
You think so?
Yeah, 100%. 100%. Why wouldn't they?
Boy, that would be a kick in the balls to everybody from the city of Oakland when both of your teams bolt for there.
I mean, we're not surprised. Would you be surprised by it?
Not at all.
Not at all.
They are on that path to not having a single team on the east side of the Bay anymore.
Boy, baseball in Las Vegas in the summer sounds miserable.
Not if you got
a dome.
They
already lost the Warriors, too. I mean, they're still in the Bay Area, but they're not in the East Bay anymore.
I find it interesting that could Allegiant Stadium be retrofitted?
No way. No way.
Are we sure?
Yeah, because you have a retractable field. You don't have anywhere to expand it out. You'd have to take out a bunch of seats.
I don't know. I wasn't the engineer that built it. Sounds like you know.
Well, looking
what
at
what information
it,
are you sharing with me?
Well, the fact that the field is on rollers and it rolls in and out, and
hey,
you don't have the space to do it.
They played football at Fenway. If that can happen, I ain't rolling anything out.
Well, they played football at Fenway, but they didn't play baseball in.
Look, you're thinking
Foxborough.
Logically. I'm thinking like, hey, you never know. Yeah. Engineers are smart.
Well, and the A's continue to do this weird thing where they put out renderings of stadiums that will never happen. That's a thing that they do.
Mm-hmm.
And
all they do is continue to be good.
Yeah. Hey, look,
they just continue to win.
Well, this year they do.
Yeah.
Billy Beane, if you go and you win that World Series, I'd love it.
Yeah.
I'd love it if he went that, because his way has been the way that we've seen the, hey, we're going to go analytics, go cheap, and then start spending and throw gobs of money at it. Billy Beane is like, no, I just want to be competitive, and I think I can win on the cheap and still be competitive and not have to tank and get high-level draft picks in order to do it, and I don't have to spend big.
It's always the small sample size that comes back to bite the A's. They can figure out how to accumulate the number of wins they need to make the postseason with their strategy, but it seems like they almost never have a frontline starter who can win them a big game.
Yeah.
And
they're regular
season
built.
And then occasionally they run into a buzzsaw or another issue they haven't addressed. Like, I think it was 2014, they couldn't throw any runners out, and they ended up playing the Royals, and they allowed seven stolen bases in the wild card game, and then the Royals beat them and went on to win the World Series.
You can either build your franchise to win analytically during the regular season, or you can build them to win in the postseason. That's just kind of how Oakland looks at it. And then we also get to see that's how the Dodgers are built, too. Uh-huh. So good luck with that.
Make no mistake about it. Any analytics-driven team that has won a World Series has gone on a spending spree either at the trade deadline
or cheated
or a year heading in.
I'm sorry. I got something in my throat. Excuse me.
Excuse me
for a moment.
But before they cheated, they went out and they got Justin Verlander. Before they did that, they got Justin Verlander and went on spending spree.
Hey, Buck, have you heard of that analytic called cheating? You do that cheating analytic?
Yes, we all know. They have cheated.
Cheated analytic.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that analytic.
Well, still got 2017.
We're proud of that.
Big flag flying. Mm-hmm.
Big flag flying. Big flag.
Yep. World
big
Series.
Big flag. Cheaters.
Champion cheaters.
Yeah.
How about Deion Sanders, his introduction at Jackson State, the most Deion thing ever. First of all, he made the crowd wait for like a half hour as they were waiting for Deion. And then it was like in the gym, but the police escort to the building just drove right into the gym. He had like a cop car, one of the Dodge Charger cop cars. He had motorcycle police, and then his SUV just drove right in, right up, and he's Coach Prime.
Prime.
Coach Prime at Jackson State University.
His recruiting class this next year is going to be off the chain. It's going to be huge.
Do you think so?
Yeah. I mean, of course, it's not going to rival what the SEC teams are, but come on. He's going to get some good players to show up there just because it's Prime.
Apparently, he went and he got a offer out immediately to a 5-star DB.
I love it.
Who's committed to Alabama.
5 stars. Bring him here.
A quick aside on a previous topic. This texter says, my father-in-law did the HVAC for the Raiders' new stadium. It's designed for football primarily.
Primarily.
Did the HVAC for it.
Yeah.
Is HVAC different for baseball stadiums?
I didn't know. If it's outside, do you need HVAC?
Maybe he just knows more about the plans or the design. I don't know.
Yeah.
Air
conditioning's a big deal.
That place
and
is
ventilation's
badass.
A big deal in Vegas.
Especially in Vegas.
In Vegas.
So cool. That stadium is so awesome, though. Yeah. They did a fantastic job with it, even though, you know, you want to call it the Death Star. And a really cool thing that Mark Davis is doing, like, we give him a lot of garbage for being a kind of a
doofus at
times.
I don't want to call it the Death Star. The Death Star was round, okay? I think a Roomba. I like your Roomba.
It is a Roomba. But no, I called it the Death Star because Mark Davis, that's what he wants to call it. And he used like five different Star Wars references to describe it. I think one thing he is doing that is pretty cool is that he's sticking to it. He said it. I'm not going to a game until the fans can.
and he said he wants to open it with everybody else.
All right.
I think that's a pretty cool thing for an owner to do. Okay. Who his whole thing about building that stadium is we're going to do it for the fans, yeah. And we're all about the fans. Now, not the fans in Oakland because you left them twice.
Yeah, I mean, but he's trying to cool pretend deal. That he cares about fans. Mark Davis trying to. You're going to buy that? You're really going to buy that right now?
At least he's sticking to it because he's one of the only guys that can go to a game. And they said it on the broadcast last night. It's the first time since 1963 he hasn't been to a game.
Oh, what a sacrifice, man. What a sacrifice. Oh, good Lord. He doesn't care about the fans.
No, I'm just
he jumped ship for a couple $1 billion. He's going to sell you that?
Well, do you think he had his own audible with Derek Carr yelling, Mark Davis!
Right, Mark Davis isn't going to show up for the AFC Championship game in Vegas.
See, I just think it's a cool deal that he's sticking through it.
I'm calling
at least
that right
the
now.
First game.
AFC Championship in Vegas.
So they're going to get home field
throughout. Home field advantage.
Wow.
Knocking off the Chiefs.
Bold call
going,
on that
going
one.
Going crazy. Hey, crazier things have happened. Raider Nation.
All right, tomorrow we got Cam's definitive ever-changing power rankings of the NFL. We will do that at 7:30. Up next is The Herd with Colin Cowherd, 9 to noon. Noon to 3, Dirt and Sprague. 37, Primetime with Isaac and Suk. Then Duck Insider with Joey Mack, 7 to 8 p.m. Have a great Tuesday. We'll see you Wednesday right here on 1080 The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.